Last Sunday, we heard the beginning of what is called the Sermon on the Plain, found in the Gospel of Luke. We explored the meaning of Jesus' list of blessings, called Beatitudes, and woes. And that included, blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep now, and those who are despised and excluded. And today's lesson from Luke 6, 27 through 38, immediately continues with some very, very familiar Bible verses, including the Golden Rule and Jesus' commands to turn the other cheek, to love your enemies, and do not judge, and you will not judge, be judged. So hear now the scripture. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as God is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. For most of us, this remarkable passage is both familiar and very difficult. It obviously has a lot to say about how we should treat other people. For instance, even persons who aren't familiar with the Bible are most likely familiar with the phrase, turn the other cheek. And there is way more than even one sermon in just that one phrase, as there is in each of the many phrases we just heard. But it will not be the emphasis of this particular sermon. I do want to make one quick statement, however. When Jesus said, turn the other cheek, we believe that he did not mean that we should turn over and play dead, or passively sit by and let others abuse us, as this verse has often been wrongly and tragically misinterpreted. But I'll have to address this on a different occasion. Because I want to emphasize today the command from Jesus that we love our enemies. And then focus upon one verse in particular, verse 31, better known as the Golden Rule. Jesus commands that we not only love God and our neighbors and ourselves, but also that we love our enemies. Everything else in today's biblical text needs to be interpreted in that context and through that filter and lens. And perhaps the most disturbing part about this command may not be the love part, but rather the recognition that you and I do indeed have enemies of one sort or another, whether we want to admit or recognize that or not. It makes sense, therefore, that others may consider you or I an enemy as well. What is an enemy? For those tempted to say, I don't have any enemies. Listen to this. An enemy can be defined simply as a person or group actively opposed or hostile to someone else. That's pretty broad. An enemy is a person or group who feels hatred for, fosters harmful designs against, or engages in antagonistic activities against another. And yes, an enemy may even try to harm or stop another from doing something. An enemy, therefore, doesn't have to be as dramatic as, say, someone who wants to kill us, or how, say, our government would define another country as an enemy. An enemy may be much closer to home than we realize. As an example, based on the above definitions, is it not true, for instance, that those who identify on the progressive far left of the political and theological spectrum often consider and approach those on the conservative far right as an enemy? How many of us struggle with those who insist that their way of thinking, believing, and behaving is the only right or legitimate way to be a Christian or an American? For many of us, then, these are among the folks that Jesus is commanding us to love. So let me ask you, who are the enemies in your life that Jesus is commanding you to love? The heart of Jesus' teaching about how we are supposed to respond to our enemies involves resisting the almost innate instinct to keep score, and then to retaliate against, or even get even with those who have wronged us. But again, we are not called to a passive doormat mentality, but rather what can best be described as active nonviolence. Gandhi and Martin Luther King, of course, were excellent examples of this way to approach those who opposed them. And the Reverend Ann Lamar leads a class at the county jail for female inmates on nonviolent communication. It seems that as followers of Jesus, our guiding principle should be do not reciprocate, no eye for an eye, and do not retaliate, no revenge. And do not draw your reaction and behavior patterns from those who victimize you. Well, history has repeatedly shown that when the victims in a society rise and take power, they often are no better when it comes to victimizing their enemies, the ones who used to be in power. And this happens not only in autocratic societies and governments, it happens in democratic ones as well. Instead, we are to take the initiative to break the cycle of violence, which for most of us agreed is more about verbal, mental, emotional, and spiritual violence than it is about physical violence, yet that is indeed a reality for some. And theologian Martin Buber tells the story of a Jewish student who asks a Hasidic rabbi, the Talmud declares that the stork is called by a Hebrew word that means the devoted or loving one, because it gives so much love to its mate and to its young. Why then is it classified in the scriptures with the unclean birds? The rabbi answered, because it gives love only to its own. Perhaps that is true with our love as well. Our affections may be tender and devoted, but often they are limited to a small group of people. In other words, our love may be deep, but not always is it broad. But does not the Bible teach us that God's love is for all people equally, including the wicked and the ungrateful? While we certainly do not have the same capacity to love as God loves, should we nonetheless strive to exhibit the same kind of love that is risky and extravagant, not safe and predictable? Now let's broaden that topic of loving our enemies to include one of the greatest of all teachings. We know it as the Golden Rule, Luke 6:31. We have indeed all probably known it since childhood, and as mentioned with our time with the children in the King James English, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, one way of looking at this involves the understanding that we should not react to how others have treated us by treating them in the same manner. Rather, we are to treat them with love, for that is indeed how we ourselves would want to be treated. And notice that there is no promise that others will treat us with this same loving way. But we are commanded to treat others well nonetheless. And today's passage from Luke 6 also instructs us with some specific guidelines. And again, in the context of loving our enemies. It says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Do good, bless, pray. Well, how can we extend that to our enemies, let alone to one another? Well, in my own life, I have found it almost impossible to resent someone that I am praying for. So perhaps the greatest way to find release from any bitterness or resentment you may have for another person is to pray for them. For once resentment sets in too deeply, it is very hard to be in any kind of a meaningful relationship with that person. We are to treat other people the way we want ourselves to be treated. And interestingly, this teaching predates Jesus by hundreds of years. Homer, Plato, Confucius, and many others have stated it in various forms before Jesus. The difference, however, scholars believe, is that most of the others state this rule in the negative. Let me explain. A Jewish rabbi and teacher named Hillel, who lived just one generation before Jesus, stated it this way. What is hateful to you, do not do to another. That is the entire law. The rest is commentary. And Confucius, living around 500 BCE, phrased it in much the same way. What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Well, stating this rule in a negative way, however, really just gives the impression, do not mistreat others because they might retaliate and do the same to you. Stating it in a positive way, however, which many scholars again believe was done for the first time by Jesus, takes on a slightly different meaning. It is one thing not to treat someone else badly. But it's quite a different matter to go out of your way to treat others the same way that you want them to treat you, whether they do so or not. Therefore, the very essence of ethical Christian conduct goes far beyond just not doing bad things to others. It means actively doing good things to and for others. And that, which we all know, is difficult. And that it applies to our enemies as well. And unfortunately, far too many people interpret the Golden Rule in exactly the opposite way. They think that they have the right to treat other people the way they have treated them. But that's just the old eye for an eye mentality, which Jesus overturns. The Golden Rule is not about how we should react to others, but rather how we should act toward them in the first place. And our motivation to treat others as we hope to be treated should not be out of some sense of moral superiority, or to win the approval of others, or to shame an enemy, or even to try to convert an enemy into a friend. We are to do good, simply because it's the right thing to do, because that is what God does. God is generous and acts in love and grace towards all people, embracing the saint and the sinner alike. And Jesus would have us imitate that action. So we are to be compassionate and merciful simply because God is compassionate and merciful, even when it violates our own sense of justice. And granted, mercy and justice are often and always basically have been in tension. Still, Jesus commands, stop judging and stop condemning. But this tension rightfully reminds us that without justice and fairness, grace degenerates into permissiveness. And also, just as justice without grace hardens into cruelty. And with God's help, it is possible to move not only beyond retaliation, but also into active nonviolence and mercy and compassion, and find ways to stay in relationships, even with our enemies. I encourage you then to remind yourself this week, as often as may be necessary, of the golden rule. Put it into action and see what a difference it might make in your outlook on life. And it begins here, in this sanctuary. It begins today. Amen.